Avoid those midweek meltdowns ahead of game week 5. Sweep for seagulls in defence. Don't move from Mo too quickly and ride the rotation roller coaster. Hello, welcome back to the FPL pod with you on a Monday because, dun dun dun, it's the first midweek round of the season. This is where the fun really begins. Talking of fun, FPL families, Sam Bonfield is here, as is the kind of fun broadcaster, Julian Laron. And I think our final guest also just about fits into that category. He's certainly already winning the award for the most committed to this podcast so far this season. Never mind when I did the pod from Portugal, Sam did it from Denmark, or Jules when he did it from France. The former Premier League defender and now FPL manager, Nader Manua, is joining us. From where are you, Nadim? All I know is it's 1 a.m.
I'm in Salt Lake City, and yeah, it's 1:10. Actually, it could have been 1 when we started, but still, here we are.
Anyone got any other guests that we can replace him with? Because early on, he's setting his stall out. Okay, so well done for your commitment. Not well done for the jibes early on. You've obviously been talking to Jules, and that's how he's told you to survive on this podcast. But you obviously love FPL.
Yes.
Because you wouldn't be here, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Have you loved your season so far? How's it gone?
I have detested it pretty much.
Brilliant.
This is actually my second full season. And I tried to really sort of like overthink it, bringing this person, bringing that person, not taking anybody too obvious all the time. And then all of a sudden, 4 weeks in, I've had to play my wild card because all the obvious things are the right things to do. But ultimately, it's just a great game. You know, you think you have those highs when your player scores. It just brings the game into this whole different sort of perspective, doesn't it? So I've brought my wild card in and I'm going to enjoy the remaining 30-odd weeks left of the season and climb my way to the very, very top and say I'm better than everybody, especially on this podcast.
You can say that to Jules. He won't let you. He won't agree. But so let me just confirm, your wild card is active right now.
It's active right now, yeah. Enough was enough. I was going to stay committed to my team. Then I went, no, I'm not going to do this, because as every week passes, I'm seeing lots of people celebrate and I just sit in the corner silently like, oh, maybe one day my player will score or something. So no, I've gone all in and the race begins now for me.
I heard that Nadim almost played his wild card after game week 1. This is how bad things were from the beginning. I mean, I think the writing was on the wall.
Hey, listen, there were certain players in my team. I don't necessarily want to name them, but they had an extended holiday. This is all I'm going to say. And now things have changed and now I've got the workers in. So I'm expecting big points every single week now, starting this midweek.
Yeah, maybe we can help you with this wild card. Now, Jules, how was your game week? By the way, Nadim, whenever you ask Jules how his game week was or how anything went, he says it's great.
It's great. It was great. 66 points. I watched Liverpool score 9 goals, of course, like all of us, against Bournemouth, with tears in my eyes for Mo Salah. Either missing chances or disappearing, or just fencing, doing anything but actually giving us points for the game, which was heartbreaking, to be honest. I don't understand how with 1.21 expected goals in a game like that, 9 goals scored, he still doesn't score. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before, and I don't think we will see it again. But apart from that, Trent returned well finally. I mean, that's for all the time that Trent hadn't returned so far this season. Finally, he got us the 17 points. Salah was my captain, of course, instead of Kane and Haaland, also in my team.
Okay, so Salah was a frustration for everyone, Jules. It must have been more frustrating for you because, if I remember rightly, you weren't captaining the Egyptian the last time we spoke on this podcast.
This is right. You've got a good memory and you listen to what I say. I said Harry Kane, just to troll Sam Bonfield, would score
see,
a hat-trick.
You should pay more attention to your own team rather than trolling me, Jules.
H was my captain, and then I changed to Haaland, then I changed to Jesus, and then I changed to Mo Salah literally Saturday morning because I could not make my mind up, and I wish I'd never touched the captaincy through the whole weekend. It was really painful to watch, I have to say, but kind of fun, but not really fun.
Sam, sorry, we've barely heard from you so far. You and I have got our work cut out, I think, with Nadim and Jules on here today. How was your game week?
Yeah, actually, it was good. I mean, Saturday, up until the Arsenal game on Saturday night, I was having an absolutely blinding game week because I hadn't captained Salah and obviously he hadn't returned. And I was thinking, okay, well, this is going well. I had Luis Diaz, I'd had Trent Alexander-Arnold. I said, there's points coming in, great game week. But I captained Gabriel Jesus and that felt disappointing given that he looked promising. He looked like he was going to return. And then on Sunday, the two players that I had left, it just really went badly. Trippier lost his clean sheet and Bailey got benched. So ended up with 67, which feels like a nice progress point anyway. It was a huge big arrow. So moving in the right direction, going into the midweek fixtures with a couple of free transfers, feels like a nice place to be, actually.
Yeah, it changes what we're thinking a little bit about Liverpool, doesn't it? Now, Nadim, on the last podcast, we were talking about what do we do with them, because obviously a really disappointing start from Jurgen Klopp's side. But are you now going to be targeting them on your wild card because of the way they played against Bournemouth, or do you still have concerns?
No, I don't really have concerns. I think the game against Bournemouth, like I was like, Jules, I captained Salah because it felt like the most obvious thing in the history of all football to captain Mo Salah at home against Bournemouth. But obviously we were naive somehow. But yeah, I feel like you have to keep them in, especially when you see how many people have them. You're just this nagging doubt that if they do something, you'll be losing ground. And that's basically what I did for the first four game weeks. So I've had a lot of red arrows, whereas these guys are trending upwards. So I am on board that train now, and everything is going to be good, and it's going to be heavy on some of these stars that we've mentioned so far.
Very quickly, Sam, you mentioned you might be doing a wild card in the coming game weeks. Are you still considering it later this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't want to do it ahead of this one because the quick turnaround between deadlines, the one game week finishing, the next deadline starting, I didn't want to get through a bank holiday Monday feeling really stressed about, you know, who was coming in and who wasn't. Plus, I also like to use my wild card to kind of gain some team value, look at players going up and down in price and spend a bit of time thinking clearly. So I didn't want to do it ahead of game week five, but it's definitely something that's on my mind for game week six, because there are certain players that I don't have in my team right now who, in order for me to be able to afford to buy them, I need to sell some of my other big hitters as well. And it kind of means a bit of a change in structure and system. And that's something that I don't want to kind of make rash decisions on. I want to really think it through. But maybe ahead of game week six, it's still something that is potentially on my agenda, yeah.
Talking of big hitters, before we move on to looking ahead to the next game, we can't really not talk about Erling Haaland, can we, Jules? You said you nearly captained him. Yeah. Is he a must-have? Would you be saying to Nadim, whatever you do, get him in that wildcard squad?
I think so. I mean, I can understand the dilemma between Kane and Haaland up front, for example, as well as I think Gabriel Jesus, as we've been saying before, because of the price and everything, is quite a certain pick. But then if you don't want Kane and Haaland, good luck to choose between the two. That's the call I made, was not to choose. Some people have chosen. Even the biggest fans of Harry Kane have dropped him, Nadim, so you should know this.
Here he goes again.
You should know this. Like, almost family have dropped Harry Kane.
Yeah, Nadim, in case you didn't know, Sam is a big Spurs fan, and as a result, a big Harry Kane fan. In fact, this podcast sometimes becomes a Harry Kane fan club with these two. Now, let's move on, shall we, and look ahead to game week five, because there really isn't long before the deadline. It's 6 p.m. on Tuesday, the first midweek round of the season, as I was saying. We're going to go through positionally, but firstly, Sam, you mentioned there you wouldn't do a wildcard going into this one. Personally, you understand why some managers like Nadim would. What are the considerations we do have to make? Nadim, I'm not trying to make you feel bad about that.
No, you've done it already, but it's fine. Carry on.
No, but Sam, just on a serious note, the considerations that we do have to make before a midweek round, I'm guessing it's the R word, it's rotation.
Yeah, there's so many kind of variables in a midweek action, aren't there? And we normally see this around the European football and that kind of thing. But actually right now, we've got big variants because we've got some teams that have had a really good start to the season. The players are playing incredibly well. And you kind of feel like they're in a moment and they're unlikely to be rotated. Then you've got other teams that maybe haven't started the season as well or have new players coming in as a result of the transfer window still being open. So all of that stuff means that we might get rotation alongside having a narrower time period to kind of work out what you're going to do. So just be mindful if you are wildcarding going into game week five, that sometimes you do get variance, you get rotation. That doesn't necessarily mean you've picked a bad team on wildcard. It might just be that it takes a couple of game weeks for you to see the real effect of your wildcard.
Now, looking at the transfers, people are making early transfers because of the short turnaround. Taking a quick look at the transfers in and out, it maybe won't surprise you that Haaland and Diaz are the most transferred in. Salah and Zinchenko, who of course missed out for Arsenal at the weekend, that was very active from the bench supporting the side, wasn't he? He's also one of the most popular out. And Jules, you're like this. Cancelo is third on the transferred out list overall. Let's start with goalkeepers and defence. And firstly, the Man City defence, I went doubled up on the Man City defence with Cancelo and Walker at the start of the season, but it's not going to plan.
It's not going to plan. The number seven, I told you, for Cancelo is wrong. There's something wrong there. I would literally draw number one in front of it, or two or three or four, anything. You can have 77 for all I care, just not number seven.
Okay, Nadim, so Jules from the off has been saying that Cancelo isn't as good a FPL option this year. What have you made of Man City's defence and where it's going wrong? Because, I mean, it's great for us neutrals watching them go 2 goals behind and then coming back to win 3 or 4-2 or whatever it is. Yeah. But it's not great for FPL, and it's probably not what Pep Guardiola would like right now either.
No, it's absolutely not, especially when you're getting those notifications coming through. There's been a goal at the Etihad, 1-0. There's been a goal at the Etihad, 2-0. Like, oh, well, there's -1, just like that. Fantastic. Yeah, it's I don't know. It's been strange. Obviously, come the end of the season, they'll probably have one of the best defensive records. But it just seems like they're offering people encouragement right now, which is very, very strange. But I'm not really with Jules on the sort of like anti-Cancelo hype, because he's still such a big, you know what I mean? I don't know why you're trying to get him cancelled or whatever, but he's still a very good attacking option. So he will get points.
He's transferred that a lot. It's not just me, clearly.
Yeah, but that's just, everything's reactive the same way like many people, maybe myself, have transferred out Salah because he didn't score in a 9-0 drop-in, even though he had tons of chances, you know? Sometimes we can get so emotional. It's just the fact that with the game, they just dangle that carrot, one free transfer. So you think, well, I should use it. Get him out. But yeah, Cancelo will be fine. City will be fine. And I'm sure they'll be printing points like they were doing last year as well.
Well, Sam, you have got the City defensive double up. You've also got Edison and Cancelo. Would you be advising managers against that right now? Is there value elsewhere? As we spoke about on the last podcast, which is maybe meaning we don't need to spend as much money on City defenders this season.
Yeah, it's a bit of a frustration right now, actually. I think we all know what Cancelo can do, right? He's a fantastic attacking player. So the attacking threat that he has is really good. Now, he isn't having quite as many touches in the final third. Normally, when you look at the data for each game week, he's the top player for touches in the opponent's half and in the final third constantly over the course of last season. It was like a rarity when we didn't see him up there. First 2 game weeks of the season, same thing applied. He was top for touches in the final third. The last 2 game weeks when City's defence just has wobbled a little bit, we've seen him not quite in the same position. That's worrying me a little bit in terms of his positional play and where we might find him. And owning the double up feels a bit risky, particularly when you've got players like Robert Sanchez at Brighton in goal who could replace Edison and save me a lot of money.
What about the Liverpool defence then, Jules? Because a lot of people will have sold maybe Andy Robertson. We saw that was a really popular transfer a couple of weeks ago. Now we've seen that performance against Brighton. Would you advise a Liverpool double up? And Trent Alexander-Arnold, that goal and the fact he got a clean sheet, that's the reason that managers bought him in the first place.
Yes, that's right. I mean, they're not going to play Bournemouth every weekend. We know that. Or a defence like the Bournemouth one that we saw on Saturday. I still think they will concede chances like City will, and maybe they're not as strong defensively than they were in previous seasons. So I would be against the double up in Robertson and Trent, or Trent and Van Dijk, or Gomez if you want to save money for now, and another of the Liverpool defenders, or even Alisson. But I think you need Trent. I would always keep Trent. And I think Trent showed on Saturday that, yeah, there'd been at times where he's made mistakes and they've made mistakes, but eventually on the ball, there's something else when they're on a good day. So for me, Trent is still the must-have of that Liverpool defence anyway.
Okay, so the consensus seems to be that we're okay with one City and one Liverpool defender. Who else are you looking at when you're picking your defence with your wild card, Nadim? Where else is there value?
So given all the talk about like Sanchez in goal and stuff, well, how about the people in front of him? So I'm leaning towards a few Brighton defenders. They're not too expensive, but they seem like they're good value at this moment in time. And I think playing Fulham away, it's obviously not a guarantee for a clean sheet, but they're in good form. So maybe that's where I'll be leaning. But I don't want to reveal too much because people are just going to copy me. You know, at the end of the day, I can't rise to the top if everyone's got the same team.
After your record so far, I'm not sure they'll copy you. But we can try.
Yeah, do exactly what I don't do. That's the best thing to do.
And unfortunately, part of coming on the podcast does usually mean that you do have to kind of provide some insight. Otherwise, it makes quite a dull podcast.
That's your opinion. Be nice to be
free. Sam, maybe you can suggest some good Brighton defenders. Who would you be bringing in?
Spoiler alert, Kelly, I've actually already brought in a Brighton defender this week. I've used one of my free transfers because I really like the idea of the Brighton defence right now. They've kept 3 clean sheets so far this season. That's more than anybody else. And they kept 11 last season and only 6 kept more than they did. So they've been really solid. Now, I was a little bit worried going into the season about their defence, given that Cucurella was on the move and eventually did go off to Chelsea. And of course, they lost Basuma to Spurs. And I was kind of thinking, will that have a major impact on how that defence will set up and what it will look like? But it just hasn't. They've been really good so far this season. They've actually looked more together than a lot of other Premier League defences, which is unusual given they've had a lot of change. And you kind of look across that back line and you've got players like Veltman and Dunk who offer really nice potential for clean sheets as well as some attacking returns. But Webster's really interesting right now. Now, he's not the one I've bought in, but if I was looking for a really big differential, then he's made 5 attempts from set pieces so far this season. That's more than any other Brighton player, not just Brighton defender. So Webster might be a nice differential. I'm going with Joel Veltman this season. He was great for me towards the back end of last season. So he's the one that I've bought in ahead of that trip to Fulham, because we've got Fulham next. Then it's Leicester, who are definitely misfiring, followed by Bournemouth, Palace. And then there's a tough game against Liverpool. But fixtures are really nice. 3 clean sheets in 4. Good attacking threat. What's not to like about Brighton?
Let's see how in sync you are. Which Brighton defender have you bought in, Jules?
Veltman as well. We mentioned him in the last show, didn't we? And I wish I'd bought him in for this, for the game week last weekend, because obviously they kept the clean sheet. He played only 70 minutes. I mean, I said only because I think that Graham Potter will play him in midweek. So you gave him a little bit of rest, 20 minutes. That he doesn't play, and then he can go again this midweek, because as we said, there will be some rotation. And I think Veltman won't be part of that rotation, maybe at Brighton. And also, I like the fact that he doesn't take yellow cards. I mean, mark my words, he will obviously get caution in midweek. But so far in the 4 games in the Premier League, no yellows for him. He's a good defender. I like him a lot. And like Nathan said, low ownership, cheap. So for me, Veltman is really the one to go for.
And it's not a clean sweep, because I went for Dunk. And this is now that feeling which I've had for the previous 4 weeks, where I think, you know, I'm onto something good, but for some reason people have gone a different way. Okay, but your arrow's pointing up, but mine's pointing down. But I think this week is going to be Dunk. He's going to score. He's going to be involved. He's going to be great. And then I'll come back on the show in the future and we'll talk about this moment where I figured it all out. Thanks to you guys.
The beauty of this podcast is we also obviously video it and we clip things up. So I'll make sure that we've got this clipped up and ready to go if, and hopefully when, I'm Team Nader on this, when Dunk outscores him. Okay, so we've discussed Liverpool, we've discussed City, we've now discussed Brighton. You're going to need a few more defenders, Nader. Where else are you looking?
Well, to be honest, I was looking everywhere because I had, I'll hold my hands up. We've mentioned before the City defenders and stuff. I had the wrong Liverpool defender in. So I had Van Dijk, okay? And it was just because, basically, as you guys know, from when you have Salah, you basically like sell off about 2 other positions because he is so expensive. So I was sort of thinking, well, I can't go for Trent. I can't do this. I can't do that. But as you heard earlier, I have gotten rid of Salah now. So I've got different options. And I've brought in Trent. And I think for him at home again, playing against Newcastle, Newcastle were a good side, but it's Anfield. I'm all in there. And also I'm backing Reece James again, because I quite like what he's doing, even though he sometimes plays as a defender. I like him as a set piece taker. He's been just a steady stream of points and he always seems to be involved as well. So against Southampton, maybe they'll keep a clean sheet, but at the end of the day, I think he'll have some sort of attacking involvement. So this week I'm going for Trent. I'm going for Reece James and Dunk. And then this is going to be, as I say, the best back three in all the fantasy football this week.
I like that. Projecting good thoughts, yes, and hoping that, yes, it happens. Jules, a word on Arsenal as well, because I mentioned Zinchenko obviously missed out at the weekend. Second most transferred out. Really frustrating for his owners that bought him in. But there is still value in that Arsenal defence, even though they didn't keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, and Gabriel's mistake, I think, cost a lot of us some points, whether you had an Arsenal defender or Ramsdale in goal, like me, because he looked up to that point. And then, yeah, Fulham and Mitrovic had more chances towards the end, but they were very comfortable by then. And without the mistake, maybe they would not have conceded full stop. But I think Saliba, who I thought had another really good game, he didn't score, but his ownership is going up because people recognize his price and what Arsenal are doing, that they play Villa at home on Wednesday night. So it's another home game for them, back-to-back home games. And there's a lot of solidity, I think, in that defense. So it's good, I think, if you have Zinchenko, but we don't know when he's going to be back. So listen to what Arteta says in his press conference, but Saliba is another very good option.
Yeah, you could make that light for light swap, but it's definitely worth keeping an eye on Arteta's press conference. And also bearing in mind, maybe, I don't know if you agree with this, Jules, that when there is a midweek game so quickly, when they are winning without him, maybe they won't rush him back.
Yeah, that's right. But there will be rotation. You could easily see Tomiyasu, for example, starting right back. Nada is fully fit and he's been coming on late in games. And maybe White can go either as a centre-back or can be rested as well because he's played a lot. So I expect some changes from Arteta, like from a lot of other managers. I think, though, Saliba, this is also new for him, the Premier League, that he needs to keep playing and playing and playing regardless of who plays next to him or even who the opposition is. So for Saliba, I think it's going to be another start on Wednesday night. Yeah, but for Zinchenko and some others, I think we need to listen to what Arteta has to say.
Shock, you're mentioning Saliba. Wasn't he the one that you really bigged up on the pod the other week?
I did as well. He's my boy. So, you know, he's my brother. So.
You're nothing if not consistent, that's for sure. Let's move into the midfield positions because we've already heard that Nadim has sold Mo Salah on his wild card. I'm sure there's going to be many, many other managers doing the same after the frustration of midweek. As I said, the most transferred out player. But Sam, for me, the alarm bells are a bit like Liverpool. When they're down, when they're hurt, when they're angry, they're a bit like a wounded animal. And I'm a little bit personally worried that Mo Salah is going to be the same. Would you be saying that managers who are selling him should approach with caution?
Oh, for sure. This is Trent being sold massively last week again, isn't it? I think Mo Salah was so unlucky not to have returned in that game. There were a couple of clear-cut opportunities where on any other given day, he gets at least a brace in that game, if not a hat trick. He should have and could have easily returned. And I worry that going into the next few weeks for FPL managers that do decide to sell Salah, that he returns big. Now, there are two ways of looking at this, right? Because if you get rid of Salah, you free up so much additional money, particularly if you go with Luis Diaz instead, that's 5 million. That 5 million buys you Kane alongside Haaland up top. That buys you additional premium defenders or other important midfielders. Maybe you want to get KDB in or such forth. So if you spend the money wisely, then it can be worth doing. But you are going to have to hide behind a sofa every time Liverpool play because he is not going to have an XG of what he like he did in game week 4 and not return every week.
Do you have another Liverpool midfielder, Nadim?
Yeah, so as she was just saying that, I brought in Diaz to replace Salah and I've used that money to sort of bolster my attack a little bit because he was kind of weak. So yeah, Diaz is in. And, you know, like we all know Salah's going to score goals. It really is, but it's the price. It's the price that breaks me because off the back of that, I was putting people in. Like it was only a couple of weeks ago. I was actually doing something on TV watching. Oh, it was with you. We were doing the show. We were doing the BBC show and I was watching the games. And all of a sudden I realized I had two Villa players in my team. And I was like, wow, how did this happen? Like when was this a thing? And they were getting destroyed by Crystal Palace. But I thought, well, I put in basically what I could afford in that moment. So now I'm a bit more expansive. I've got a bit more talent spread around and yeah, I feel like I'm in a good place now. So yeah, there we go.
What do you make of that, Jules? Because you were quite vocal on this podcast a few weeks ago about Diaz saying he won't score many goals. That, I've got to be honest, made it even sweeter for me when he was brilliant against Bournemouth at the weekend. And I knew that Sam had him as well, that we both held him despite having concerns and despite considering selling him. What are you making of him now? Are you going back on what you said or are you convinced there's going to be a goal drought ahead?
No, I didn't. I said that I expected more goals and assists from him, that with the talent that he had and how quickly he settled in after arriving last January, that I want to see more from him. I never said he was bad or that everybody should sell.
You did see more from him in game week 4 though, didn't you, Jill?
Yeah, I did. And that was great. I'm not sure how many times you can score that header because that was a hell of a header. But I think this is much better. And I think he's also someone that works a lot with confidence. So I think the Crystal Palace goal was amazing. And yet, even if after that, he didn't obviously follow it up the following week, you knew that confidence was going to help him. And then there's even more confidence now after the Bournemouth game. He will take that into the Newcastle game. And then you can easily see him doing still good and maybe score or assist. So this is maybe just the little click that Luis Diaz needed, that brace against Bournemouth. So I'm very happy, not really, but I'm very happy for all the Colombians around the world that are listening to us and for Luisito himself.
It's a debate I feel like we have every week on the podcast, or like an update on the 8 million midfielder slot. And Sam, last week you and I were both tempted to sell Luis Diaz. Thank goodness we didn't. Mason Mount and Dejan Kulusevski also in that bracket. Kulusevski did get an assist in game week 4, but not quite the returns of Diaz. Does that mean that Mount and Kulusevski we should be moving on and Diaz is the standout option?
Yeah, I mean, Diaz is the highest scoring of those 8 million midfielders. And of course, we lost Maddison to injury in game week 4, which will have frustrated his owners. So that 8 million price point was always going to be a quite highly contested price point on our FPL pitches. I think if you're a Mount owner, he becomes a bit of an easy sell at the moment. He's just not ticking over the points. And Chelsea are starting to find a rhythm. They're starting to find a bit of a gear, as we saw against Leicester. But Leicester were pretty poor in that game and they were giving them plenty of opportunities. And when Chelsea are playing with 10 men for the majority of that game, I would have expected Leicester to have kind of come good. And the fact that they didn't says quite a lot about Mason Mount and his lack of returns, I think. So I would be selling Mount if I had him right now. Kulusevski is different, though, because the last 20 minutes of that game against Nottingham Forest, I thought Kulusevski was the best player on our pitch. He was attacking, he was threatening. He kind of seemed to find his mojo a little bit. And that seemed to happen around the time that Richarlison came on. That movement towards those front three of Richarlison, Kane and Kulusevski gave Kulusevski a bit more of a license. So if I was a Kulusevski owner, I'd be holding him. Meanwhile, on the other side of the pitch, as I said last week, if I was owning Son, I'd be looking to sell. We're 11 goal attempts into the season now, but he hasn't really looked like scoring. And when I look back and think about that one-on-one opportunity he had against Henderson on Sunday against Forest, every other time in every other season that I've watched Son in the Premier League, he'd have tucked that one away. But he hit it right at Henderson. He looks like a player that's out of confidence, out of form. He was so frustrated and so angry sitting on the bench. And that's not something we normally see from Son. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him get benched against West Ham in midweek and have Richarlison start the game. I think Richarlison earned the right to score with the way that he performed when he came on and obviously picked up the assist for that second goal when Spurs were under quite a lot of pressure from Forest.
Slightly higher price point, Nadim. Quick word on Sterling. We can't really not talk about him after his first goals for Chelsea. What did you make of him? Is this the start of his life at Chelsea properly now? Is he going to kick on?
Yeah, do you know what? I think it could be. I think in some of the games that they've played, barring the Leeds game, I think he's actually done quite well. And I can see that he's going to be doing well for them if Chelsea are to be successful. So he's tempting. But again, the price point is so high. Like, I hate the fact that this game just makes me think about money so much. I'm so tempted by him, but it's like, it's at what cost? At what cost? But yeah, I fancy him to start scoring a few more goals. And I think it's weird to see the percentage of people who actually have him in their teams be so low, because the last time I played, it was a lot higher when he was in that sort of City setup where, you know, it was almost inevitable he was going to score. But bear in mind, like, the last time I played was a couple of seasons ago. But I think he's going to have a big impact. I expect him to get at least double figures this season. So yeah, it's a teasing one. I'm going to keep an eye on him to see how he does.
Yeah, it's a big price point, isn't it? Probably worth holding out a little bit longer. If we're going to talk about the expensive ones, before we move on, I'm also going to say this is a kind of selfish question, but it's not that selfish, because Pascal Gross is my potential transfer in this week, and he is the third most transferred in player overall. Graham Potter singing his praises after Brighton's win against Leeds. He looks so integral to that Brighton side, Jules. Is he a really nice option for us now in FPL? I think he's 5.8 million as well.
Yeah, he's still good. I mean, one of my children said after the weekend, is Pascal Gross going to go to the World Cup for Germany? And I was like, well, he's one of those players, isn't it? That he's not going to go to the World Cup. I told him that. But he's still so good for his club and in the Premier League, in the best league in the world. He's such a special player, isn't it? Because he's got so much attributes and so many qualities. And yet he's not the most flashy or the most technical or the most intense either, but he works so well in that system and Potter knows exactly how to use him. So again, if you have that kind of budget going forward, we said that Brighton have really good fixture for the next, I think, 3 game weeks, maybe even 4 game weeks, then it gets a bit tougher. But I think Gross, with the confidence that he's on, and he's so integral in everything that they build up in that team, that I think it's a very smart move if you can afford him.
He's the perfect purple patch player right now, isn't he? 2 goals last season, 3 already this season. He's come in the form of his life. I mean, I don't ever remember Pascal Gross playing this consistently good week upon week upon week. So he is exactly the sort of player that when you get them playing at that that level, you want to invest in, knowing that in 3, 4, 5 game weeks time, when the purple patch ends and we start to see somebody else kind of coming up and rising through at that price, that you can move on. I think for the majority of the season, we're most of us going to hold our premiums. We're going to stay loyal to those important players in our team. And it's going to be those slightly more cheaper differential options that we can move around. And Pascal Gross right now seems to be the one to have, knowing that if you want to, and if he stops performing at this level, he's an easy sell because you'll have earned some value out of him as he continues to rise in price.
Yeah, for me at the moment, I couldn't decide between Rodrigo and Gross. Rodrigo went up last night and I decided, Jules also came into my thinking on this one. I decided I don't want to copy him too much because I'll never hear the end of it. So I've actually held off at the moment. And I also annoyingly missed Pascal Gross's price rise a couple of nights ago. Anyway, enough about my team. Let's move on to the forward line. At the beginning of the season, Nadim, the question was, do you go big? Do you have Kane, Haaland, Jesus? Jules went for that approach in the end. Myself and Sam didn't. And I think probably I speak on mine and Sam's behalf. Maybe we're regretting that decision a little bit. Are you going big in your forward line with your wild card?
I've discovered that, like, I kind of had to. I was one of those people that didn't have a Haaland, rather. So I felt real pain, like, 3 out of 4 game weeks, like literally like a dagger to the heart. Oh, he's done it again.
With your City roots as well.
Yes. It's a different game. This is not Man City Premier League fantasy. This is like fantasy Premier League. Don't worry about that.
I like that.
But I'm on board now. I'm well aboard that train. And I hope that the returns continue. You know, I have a lot of belief, and I get it from seeing other people's teams and seeing how people do it. Like, they just seem to be printing points at the moment. And it's just a horrible feeling when you don't have somebody where it feels like everybody else has them and they do something. I think Kane's kind of seen me through for the last couple of weeks, but I've actually sold him to bring in something a bit different in my setup. And I've gone a little bit heavier in the midfield, but I do have Jesus, I do have Haaland, but I've also gone for a sort of someone in the next sort of tier in Ivan Toney, because I think I think he might get a few points this week.
Selling Salah and Salah Kane, that seems like an absolute... it's rogue.
It is rogue. But also 55 points from the game week is also very rogue. That is something else that did happen to me. So, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And I know it seems crazy, but I've still got enough time and enough money now to be able to make those switches, say whether it's Haaland for Kane and the like, on a week-to-week basis. So I think I'm in a better position now going forward. And just keep the faith in me. I will be good. I will come good. I guarantee it.
Ivan Toney, do you like that pick, Jules? I certainly do.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, game week 4 was a bit more difficult for him. He blanked, but he's still second most point for forwards behind Erling Haaland, just above Jesus and Kane and Mitrovic, for example, who's another, I think, good pick. He's a bit cheaper even, but for that kind of range, if you want, outside of the big, big stars, very expensive ones. But yeah, I like Toney, whether they play with a front three, with a front two. I think he does so much. He links up the play well. He assists, as we saw in the United game. He scores. He's on penalties. We've said that many times. So I think Toney is a really, really good pick.
Shout out to Mitrovic for that third forward spot, though, because coming to the Premier League, we were all kind of going, will he be able to do what he did in the Championship last time? Because in the Premier League last time around for Fulham, he just wasn't consistent in terms of either starts or returns or actually anything. He was a bit of a non-option for us. But this time around, he's the focal point of that attack. He's physical. He's involved in kind of all aspects of the play. We saw that against Arsenal. I mean, Arsenal actually defended really well in that game. But his harrying, his ability to just get in and around defenders and kind of just be a bit of a pain really works. And from an FPL perspective, when you're looking at spending a lot of money elsewhere, you know, we're talking a lot about premium players and how we fund them. And if you want to go for somebody like Sterling, who's a massive differential, then bringing in a slightly cheaper forward option in somebody like Mitrovic or Toney, either of them work. But right now, I think with the way that Fulham are playing, with the centre point that Mitrovic is in that Fulham team, I really love him as an FPL asset. And he's a player that I'm looking at going, I'd like you in my team. And maybe that's part of the reason I'm thinking about a potential wild card, because that front three, so changeable, so variable in terms of who you can have. You can go with Toney, you can go with Mitrovic, you can double up with Kane and Haaland. But of course, you're going to want Jesus in there as well. It's a season that I'd really like more than three. forwards, actually.
And let's reverse that to last season when we couldn't get any points, it felt like, out of the forwards. It shows how much things have changed this season. Are you a little bit worried, Nadim? Pep and Antonio Conte's comments suggesting that maybe there could be a bit of rotation. Do you think both Haaland and Kane will start in midweek?
No, listen, I'm terrified. I literally live in fear of this game. So yeah, I am very...
He's terrified and he's owning it.
Yeah, literally. I'll be completely honest. You know, this game, it just takes up all your time, all your thoughts. Like, I can't watch games in a normal manner anymore. Everything matters. So yeah, it does concern me. But the hope is that, you know, if it goes wrong for me, it goes wrong for everybody else as well. You know, if I go down, I'm going to drag everybody down with me. That's what I'm going to say. So we'll see. But my fingers are crossed that things still manage to go my way this week.
That's a really good point, isn't it, Sam? If one of the high ownership players are benched, or even one of the low ownership players, it's going to be happening to other people as well. Do not panic.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about your differentials, you really want them playing because they're the players that kind of make the best difference to your overall rank and to your mini league results. But when we're talking about somebody like Haaland, when we're talking about somebody like Salah or Kane, their ownership is so high that the impact is spread across all the FPL managers in the game. Now, look, is Kane going to get benched? I mean, I don't know. With the way that Son is playing, I don't know that he can necessarily afford to bench Kane right now. I think he'll start in midweek against West Ham. Also, it's in London Derby, right? He's going to want to go out strong in that one. For Pep in midweek against Nottingham Forest, well, yeah, I could see a moment where he benches Haaland. I mean, he's basically told us that he's going to bench him at some point because he can't play three times in a week. But do we really think that means Haaland's not getting any minutes at all in that game? I doubt it. I think he'll still come on. So if he comes on and gets 20 minutes at the end of the game, well, look, I'll take Haaland playing 20 minutes because he is in good form. He's attacking. He's aggressive. He can return points in 5 minutes, let alone if he plays 90. So not the end of the world if he does get benched, because I still think he'll come on and get some time and he will affect the majority of managers in the game.
Just to conclude, your forward line, I'm guessing process of elimination, Nadim, Tony, Haaland, Jesus.
That is correct. Yes, that is correct. It's not bad. Nice. Is that okay?
Nice.
Is that okay?
Nice.
That's
nice.
Yeah,
I'm back.
There we go.
I'm back. Yes. Thank you.
All on the bench on Wednesday, but that's just nice. I'm
You don't pick a team for 1 week, Nathan. Remember, you pick it for, well, not the season, because you're going to get other wild cards and unlimited transfers during the World Cup. But don't panic. Okay. Remember, okay?
Yeah. I'll try not to.
We normally finish on transfers and captains. Transfers, I think we've revealed all of ours. Nathan, we can't go through all of yours because you're on a wild card.
Yes.
Sam, is it just Veltman in for you?
No, I've made two, actually, because I just had enough of Leon Bailey as well. He played really well in the League Cup for Aston Villa, and I was thinking, great, that means he's going to start in the Premier League at the weekend. No, Gerrard benched him again. And, you know, I'd taken a couple of price drops out of him, so I was really keen to keep holding him until the price went back up again, because at some point, surely he was going to start. With the form that we saw in pre-season, no, I kind of just lost the will to live a little bit. So I was looking around the rest of my team thinking, well, where can I save some money? And reluctantly, I sold Kieran Trippier to bring in Joel Veltman on the basis that at some point soon I'm planning to wildcard so I can easily bring him back in again. And Trippier's got Liverpool this week. So again, I was kind of like, I don't necessarily see a clean sheet coming there. And on wildcard, I'll just get him back in a few weeks' time. So I then had a little bit of budget. Now, it wasn't enough budget, unfortunately, to get to Pascal Gross, and it wasn't quite enough to get to Rodrigo. So I've taken a little bit of a differential punt and gone with Aronson at Leeds in that kind of fifth spot, because he's looked really promising. Hasn't really had the attacking returns that we've seen from Harrison and Rodrigo yet, but I think he might be a nice alternative to them at a cheaper price point and somebody that I don't mind benching a couple of times. The Leeds fixtures are still really nice. So two free transfers for me, income Aronson and Veltman.
Jules, Veltman, who did he come in for? And have you done another transfer?
Only Veltman. Walker is up. Sorry, Nadim. Sorry, City fans. Sorry, Kyle yourself.
Relax.
Okay, finally, captains. I had a tweet from someone called Matt who specifically asked me if there was a podcast today because he can't decide who to captain. I do love that this season there's more variation with the captaincy. We can't auto captain Salah as we saw last week. Who are you going for, Nadim?
Oh, it's a nightmare because now I've got these options, but then everyone's getting rested. So I think I want to lean into Jesus at home against Aston Villa. That's what I'm thinking.
I like that. Sam, you were slightly burnt by the Jesus captaincy last week. So I'm guessing you're not going to go this week. Who are you going with?
I actually have got it on him again this week because it's against Villa at home. So at the moment, I am on Jesus. I actually really fancy Salah to do really well in midweek. So I might yet move it over to the Egyptian and captain him against Newcastle. I really like the Haaland captain, apart from I'm not convinced he's going to start. And that puts me off handing him the armband because I think you want to give your armband to somebody that you're certain is going to start, which for me would then rule out Haaland. If I had Kane, I'd be tempted to hand him the armband too, but I think Jesus is going to win out again for the second week in a row, and hopefully he's going to return this time.
Does that make vice captaincy a little bit more important as well, Sam? Or I suppose you would expect Haaland to come on for at least a few minutes, or do you think we do have to be really careful who we give the vice captaincy to?
I think you have to be careful who you give it to, just in case you get some other rotation elsewhere. So vice captain and captain for me will be Jesus and Salah, because I think they both start and probably get as close to 90 minutes as you can kind of guarantee in Premier League on a midweek action. So I think for those two, you're pretty safe. So yeah, give the vice captain to somebody that you're sure is going to be started by their manager, because then you've got a fallback just in case the worst happens with your captain.
And you, Jules, captain and vice captain?
I'll go for Salah, but I'm going to change my mind 25,000 times between now and the Tuesday deadline.
Yeah, and actually, you don't tell us what you're going to do anyway.
No, I did. I'm honest. And then I changed Salah. My mind. But Salah cannot break our hearts for like a second.
You owe Kane this week, Jules. You owe him a captaincy armband this week.
Yeah. I love you, Mo. So, I'll you'll be my captain again.
He does this. He declares his love in the hope they give him FPL points.
Once I declare my love, I don't take it back. I promise.
Well, you took the armband off Kane last week. You loved him, you loved him, you loved him. And then you took the armband away from him and he went, Jules, here's my brace.
That's true.
Heartbreak for Harry. Nadim, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so sorry. It's virtually the middle of the night there now as well. And you've still got a wild card to sort out. Have we helped you at all?
You haven't helped me, but Sam's helped me. Sam's helped me, but you haven't helped me. But thank you very much, Sam, anyway.
Jules, that was a custard pie. We haven't helped him, but Sam has.
No, I'm going to continue my conversation with Jules off air. Don't worry about that.
Guys, thank you so much as always. That was real fun. That is all from us today. Do not forget that deadline. It's so easily done, isn't it, this time of year ahead of midweek fixtures. 6 p.m. UK time. Nadine, that's UK time. Check out whatever time it is, wherever you are in the world on Tuesday. 6 p.m. UK time on Tuesday is your deadline. 1800, 90 minutes before the first games kick off. However you remember it, just remember. And also remember the website and social media. We're at fantasy.premierleague.com and at Official FPL on Twitter. And remember, you can subscribe to the FPL podcast feed wherever you get your pods from, so you'll always get these pods in your ears as soon as possible. And if you fancy leaving us a review, if it's going to be nice, even better. Anyway, that's enough from us. Get sorting those teams and we'll see you on Thursday.